Hey everybody, welcome to JMac Fixes Everything. I am Jamie JMac Pollock from RoyalWise. You can always find us online at RoyalWise.com. This is episode 8 of JMac Fixes Everything of our series that we've been calling Switching from Android to Apple with my co-host Audrey Isbell. In this episode, the topics are kind of all over the place. I start by explaining the Shortcuts app and how to automate things on an Apple device. Used to be the Automator, but now there's the Shortcuts app. We have a great discussion on how to use template galleries to learn how to use new software like Pages or Numbers and or even the Shortcuts app. Audrey asks how to keep her iPhone safe from heat and water damage, and then brings up the challenge of carrying an iPhone into a back pocket or a pocket. And then after a Bob Ross reference and some impersonations of Napoleon Dynamite and some Seinfeld characters, I explain what screen time is and how to leverage screen time. So we want to thank you for coming by and spending this time with us, and I hope you enjoy this episode of JMac Fixes Everything.
Hey Siri, what does JMac fix?
JMac fixes everything.
Coming to you from the Owl's Nest Studios in Portland, Oregon, it's JMac Fixes Everything, where we answer your tech questions and discuss all things Apple. For valuable, actionable, real-world Apple advice that you can count on, look no further than JMac Fixes Everything. Now here's your hosts, Jamie Pollock and Audrey Isbell.
This episode of JMac Fixes Everything is brought to you by the Northbound Coffee Roasters. Northbound Coffee Roasters carefully selects the finest certified organic coffees in the world, roasts them to order, and ships them directly to your home or your office. Northbound is family-owned and operated out of Mount Shasta, California since 2011, and it's run by my good friends Keith Hamrick and Jen Lovrack. You can buy it by the pound. They've got a great monthly coffee club you can join. And also you can get deep, deep discounts available on bulk orders of 2 or 5 pounds. And the shipping is a $5 flat rate, no matter the size of your order or the location. So head over to their website and order online at northboundcoffee.com. That is northboundcoffee.com. And use the coupon code ASKJMAC5 for 15% off your first order. That is ASKJMAC5. Go ahead and use that coupon code to get 15% off your order. I want to thank Northbound Coffee Roasters for being our sponsor, and we hope you really enjoy this episode of JMac Fixes Everything.
So, hey, everybody, welcome. My name is Jamie Pollock. My company is RoyalWise. Come visit us online at RoyalWise.com. Today, we are doing a recording of making the switch from Android to Apple, the Switcher series, we're calling it. But this is our new webcast podcast called JMac Fixes Everything. And so I'll be your host or your guide, JMac, and I've got my co-host, Audrey Isbell, with me. Say hi, Audrey.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, our co-conspirator, I called you last week, but we're still... We're still negotiating on the long-term relationship here. But this is a little drum roll. This is our 8th conversation, our 8th episode. And man, we've been having some great conversations. Last episode, we had a great talk about crash detection and some different safety and security features, some new features. And that led to a wonderful conversation about kids and candy stores. What is it about technology that gets your engine revving? And then we talked about Find My and what is Find My and how does it work? So all that.
So amazing, by the way, like after that conversation, I absolutely sent my husband the whole Find My, you know, so that he could locate me. And he was blown away. He's like, what is this? Right.
I can track you.
You totally can. I gave him permission to do that. And yep. I think like his, you know, protectiveness.
Yeah.
Totally, like, I think he was able to relax a little.
You're not letting other people do that, are you? I'm the only one, right? So I'll tell you a real-life story how I used this just yesterday. Yesterday, I took a day off of work, and I went on a field trip with my 16-year-old son. He's a junior at Benson High School, and the science class took a field trip up to Mount St. Helens. You know, 60 kids on a charter bus heading up to Mount St. Helens for the day, and I was a chaperone. But they were supposed to have two buses. They only had one bus. And so I volunteered to drive. So I drove some chaperones in my car up there. And on the way home, we got to take off before the bus. And I was like, oh, we're going to be like a half an hour before the bus. We're going like so ahead of the bus because the bus is going to be so slow. Now, their bus driver was a professional. He was not slowing down for anything. But I got to actually like monitor where Zip was on the highway as opposed to where we were on the highway. So by the time we got to the high school, I could tell the other parents, oh, no, they're only 10 minutes behind us. Oh, no, they're only 5 minutes behind us. Right. And so it was kind of a cool. And they were, I mean, I think they knew what was up. They knew I was an iPhone expert, but they were kind of like, your kid just lets you track them. I'm like, your kid doesn't. You know, they're under 18. We still own them. Like, you can't. So
I wish I had had that feature back when, right, raising my stepson, that would have been so helpful and handy. And just
my kids asked me about my childhood. I'm like, we used to go get on the bike and just leave at like in the morning, and we would just pedal around. I was in a little 3 mile long town. We'd pedal around town all day. Parents had no idea where I was and no way to find me unless they called around or I called them on a rotary phone. Kids don't even know how to use those anymore. There's YouTube videos of kids being perplexed by rotary phones, right? And then we just had to show up for dinner. We had to be home in time before dark and before dinner. And if we did, we were fine.
Yeah, but you know, we are living in such a different world. You
know? I am in Portland. I know my kids are not allowed to just leave and roam the city and come home before dinner. Absolutely not in Portland. So I don't know how it is down in Southern Oregon, but up here we are dealing with some things. I'm going to do some air quotes around things. So let's get down to tax. We always start off with how you feeling. And you said last week after the Find My conversation, you were feeling really good. Because every time you can...
really good.
Anytime you get one over on the hubby.
Yeah, well, because I keep kind of surprising him, right? I'm like, oh, and guess what else J-Mac taught me today, right? And it's so great, you know, to finally kind of be on that same playing field a little bit, right? Yeah. Where I just like, oh, and check this out. Did you know your phone can do this?
You know, even me as an Apple expert, it's super fun because other people still do teach me stuff. Occasionally there's just a little this or a little that, or unfortunately for me, I'll be watching like reels on Facebook and there'll be a TikTok with a guy who's like, did you know this? And he scrolls around. I'm like, oh, that's cool. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so. I'm, you know, becoming more and more passionate about learning. I thought I was passionate about learning before. And we kind of talked about, you know, I'm that person, me do, you know, and I'm going to figure it out on my own and all that kind of stuff. But I got to say, these episodes have really helped me to kind of sink into the student role again. And that's been super great for me.
Good. One of my feedbacks, one of the things, again, that I'm seeing or experiencing through this process, too, is that normally there's two kinds of students, reluctant students and non-reluctant students. You know, students that are forced to go to school. Oh, you have to go to high school. You have to go to college. But then there's the learning lights me up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm you know, and I've seen you even through this process, once you've got some confidence underneath you, right? I've got a foundation with this technology, right? And now you're starting to really like dig into a couple things deeper. And yeah, it's not addictive. I'm not going to say that. But
learning is a painful process sometimes.
Learning can be painful, but it also can be inspiring, you know? And I think that's really what I see, is that you get over a certain hump and then inspiration can live, right?
Yep, a little bit of wind in your sails, being able to feel a little bit more confident with the thing that you're learning, and it's just fantastic.
Well, good. And again, one of my focuses in my mentorship, or, you know, I mean, like I try to not tell people what to do or what, you know, why to do it. It's this can do this and use it the best way. It's going to help you be productive, you know, and that's, I think, one of the things is did you know this little computer you carry in your pocket and you pull out and look at 500 times a day can do this thing that would improve your daily life? And that's that subtlety that I think some people miss, is that it doesn't take a lot of learning for these devices to change your daily life. I think it was 3 or 4 episodes. We talked about reminders versus making an appointment and having an alert on it. Or, you know, should it be a to-do list reminder, or should it be an event calendar event, and those sorts of things. So once you nail that down, you know, you can use your Apple Watch and Siri to schedule appointments, remember when to pick up the kids, and not burn your pasta, not burn your baking. All at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's just really interesting that you brought that up, because I was looking at iCloud for the first time. And, you know, you get kind of some of these, hey, you're new to this iCloud thing, and stuff is popping up and, you know, legal and whatever, right? And routines was a term that was on the page, and I wondered about that. I'm like, routines, okay, is that an app? Is that an accumulation of apps? Like, is that a feature? Like, what are they talking about there? And I purposefully did not dig into that, because I just wondered if you had some insight into any of that.
Well, so the term routines is not necessarily a common term. In the Apple world, and you just put me on the spot, and my brain is freezing on what it is.
Well, and it may not even be a thing, right? But it, you know, it was kind of saying something about how, you know, it makes everything easier, because it will basically allow
automated process.
Yeah, bring up your maps and get you from A to B, and then, you know, your favorite, you know, locations and stuff will be, you know, at your fingertips, and then the reminders.
So what you might be talking about is shortcuts.
Oh, maybe I am. Okay.
So there's an app that's relatively new. It's only been here for 2 or 3 operating systems, but Shortcuts is the automator. If you're you're not an old school Mac person, so I'm not going to assume you know what this is.
Please don't.
But in OS X, or old school Mac, it basically is like scripting, right? Writing scripts and having scripts execute for the code type.
Okay.
And then they tried to make it less codey, right? So less scripty. So it's just like, okay, so let's make it object oriented. Now I can say, open this app and do this task, and then open this app and do this task, and then, and so you can build these things that are step by step. And so it used to be you needed to know how to script or code and call scripts to execute them, and then they just like object oriented programming, right? And so now all of a sudden we have encapsulated loops and or tasks that we just say, here's the task. And there may be 4 or 5 steps inside of this little encapsulated nugget, but it'll say, I'm going to do this, this, and this, because that's what that task is. Mm-hmm. And then Shortcuts came along. So Shortcuts is new on the phone. And I'm not even sure if Shortcuts is on Mac OS. I'd have to do a little looking and seeing. But I don't think that it is, honestly. I think it's a phone thing only.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely see a Shortcuts app here.
Yeah. Oh, it is on the computer too. So they have brought it to the computer.
I didn't load this, so it's a thing.
Right. Exactly. And so it is a way to automate certain things that if you need it, I'll give you my one example. Here's the one shortcut that I created that I use, and it's called It's Bedtime.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. And so it's a wind down process, right? And so like that's a process that I do every day. So when I come up and get ready for bed, I manually, and I'll go ahead and give you some details of Jamie's life. I manually load my diffuser with water.
Uh-huh.
And then I get some essential oils, and I decide what scent I want for the night. And I put about 4 to 6 drops, depending on if I'm blending or just using one scent. And I turn on my diffuser, and then I go in the bathroom and I get ready and brush my teeth and all the things that we do, my ablutions. And then I will come out and I will pick my phone up and I will tap It's Bedtime. And then I will put my phone on the charger, and then some things will happen, right? Well, what things?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it will first open the music. It will open the music app and make sure that it's pointing at the HomePod that sits right on my nightstand. It will also make sure that the volume of this HomePod is as quiet as it can be without being off. And then it will go into my music app and find a playlist called Ambient Sleep.
You are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah.
Right? That you're able to just like...
And that playlist is actually That is actually because I'm subscribed to Apple Music. The Ambient Sleep playlist is a curated playlist that changes what songs are on it that the Apple people curate. And so every 2 weeks or once a month, it changes a little bit. Some of the songs stay on there. Some of them go off. But, you know, I activate that playlist on shuffle in hopes of having kind of a different experience each night. But it's all known music. You know, they've chosen, they've curated this music to be ambient, sleepy type music. And then it took a little while to get this step. This was a hard step. Turn it off after 30 minutes.
Oh.
Right. There wasn't a built-in timer concept. There wasn't a encapsulated timer thing like stop this. And so I actually had to jimmy-rig that a little bit to make it stop after a half an hour. I actually had to push a button 30 different times to get it to go up to 30, you know, because I put a delay on it. So it wasn't a timer. It was a delay. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's it. And all I have to do is push the button and set my phone down and all those things happen. And what happens in my real life is that very gentle, quiet, ambient music comes out of my HomePod that sits on my nightstand for a half an hour. And I have some time to try to fall asleep before the music stops.
That's awesome. I feel like I kind of need to get a hold of my husband's phone now and just like create some of this. Right. He has the worst insomnia ever.
Well, I wasn't trying to cure insomnia, but yes, yes, absolutely.
You could program like, you know, the 2 a.m. go back to sleep voiceover, right? Like that's the way I think about it. No, honey, really, go back to sleep.
Hey, Siri, put it back to sleep, right? And that's kind of the next step is trying to actually leverage like a voice command, like a Hey Siri or something like that. But then, do you hear that?
I do hear that. What is that?
Hey Siri, stop. That's a HomePod sitting in the studio behind me that overheard me say what I just said and decided it was time to play some music for us.
That's awesome.
So you gotta watch. But that comes to the point. That's funny. I was about to make a point, is that it's nighttime and maybe my partner's already asleep and I don't want to say, hey, Siri. Mm-hmm. Right. And also there's a chance that some of this stuff goes wonky and all of a sudden it kicks music on at full volume or something, or it starts playing hip hop or rap or something. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
It'd be problematic.
So some of the voice command stuff can be a little iffy. And so I like just having a button on my phone and I push it and it's reliable and I know, and it's literally just on my home screen and it looks like an app. It says it's bedtime.
Yeah. That's
you cool. know, but there's a bunch of built in, let me just pull this up real quick and show you just, and again, you've got it on your phone. You could see it yourself, you know, once you're ready to kind of dig into it. What's that?
I'll follow along. See what you got.
But one of the cool things about this is that there's some built-in things, like how many days until join the next Zoom meeting. You know, but there's a bunch of starter shortcuts, like make a GIF, make a music quiz, block off an hour, directions to an event, right? Record a voice memo, right? And then go to automations, right? And so this is a built-in one that when the last person leaves home, make sure all the HomePods turn themselves off. We don't need music playing when nobody's home.
Wow, that's cool.
Right. And so there's a whole gallery of things that are already in here.
Well, I think you nailed it. I mean, this doesn't get any closer to routines than I can dream up. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, because, and especially with how you've taught me, you know, like it can recognize when you're at home, it can recognize when you've left and gone to work and that kind of stuff. And to have it start and stop things based on location. That's cool.
Yeah, it's building into, but you know, you kind of got to get to know it, you know, and when, what are the options or what are the, you know, like NPR News Now, like wake my Apple TV, mm-hmm. you know, like what are, you know.
That's neat.
You know, but then also like I've got 5 Apple TVs around my house and I've got to be, you know, I remember like it's the living room Apple TV or it's the master bedroom Apple TV or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But yeah, it's very fun, very fancy, and you can, like almost any templated system, we talk about this in Page when we do our Pages class on how to use Pages, and I think one day we'll talk about you don't need Word because you have Pages in the Apple world, Right. You don't need Excel because we have numbers. I got the PC girl laughing at me now. Well, anytime, man, this would work in Word also, or Excel also, is anywhere there's a template gallery, right? Anytime that you've got an app or an applet or a piece of software that has a template gallery and you're trying to learn how to use that piece of software, you can definitely go to the help and read through the help files. You can take a class and learn some things that way. But another great strategy for learning anything that's got a templating system is go open some templates and tear them apart.
As in, like, try to break them?
How did they do that? How did they do this? Hey, like, it looks, it. Hey, it's a newsletter and it's got multiple layers and they're locked in place, right? And so I can.
This is how I learn. Is
right. Right, exactly. I could type in this text box, but I can only put an image over here, or like, what's controlling this layout, or how do I group or lock multiple objects together? You know, and sometimes finding something that looks good and taking it apart shows you where those mechanisms are.
Yep. And that has been like my number one way of learning is to just kind of dive in and try to figure it out. And I have messed some things up, people.
You definitely have to like make a copy. Don't mess with the original. Make a copy. Mess with the copy.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that. Yeah, I artistically occasionally freeze because I'm not good looking at a blank canvas. And it's weird to admit or just say out loud like that, but like I my hat's off to people that can look at a blank canvas and say, this is what it should look like, and then start making it, right? This is, though, let's put a background in now. Oh, the happy little trees, you know, well, a little Bob Ross there for you.
Totally.
You know, but... You know, but people that can make something out of nothing, you know, or take a blank canvas and then fill it with beautiful art, it amazes me because I don't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I can look at a blank piece of paper and be like, I don't know what to write. Like, I'm not sure, you know, I can't create a layout design for this newsletter, but I can go find a template and take out the things I don't like and keep the things that I do and then start adding to it because it's inspired me. And I think that we talked like how this episode started, you know, I now know enough that I'm not feeling like I'm pushing a rock up a hill. I feel like I'm inspired. I like want to know more. I want to do more.
So I'm not going to say I'm not going to end up back there, right?
Like, I think occasionally the rock rolls back at us and we can't catch you. It.
As it can sometimes, for sure.
Yeah, Sisyphus would be proud of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so do you have a topic or do you have a question or what?
I've got lots of questions.
Let's start doing some Q&A.
About learning and it's appropriate because I had mentioned, you know, I tend to break things or tear it apart, put it back together to kind of understand what is happening with it, right?
Yeah.
What the components are. And one of my questions, as silly as this may seem, do you remember back in the day of VHS tapes and they said, don't leave them in a hot car? And you ended up being all melty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of a fun question.
I do remember.
Question, but yeah. What not to do with your iPhone? Where not to leave it? I mean, is it okay to be in a hot car all day?
Okay. It's a great question. It really is a great question. And
left my stuff places, right?
Right, like, for sure.
We have got to find mine.
How did all those cassette tapes survive in the car where a VHS couldn't? There's a difference in video versus audio tape. And then you see those things online about with like a pencil and a cassette tape and try to wind the tape back up. And the kids today are like, what are you doing? Why would you ever have to like, what do you mean you had to rewind the VHS tape before you took it back to... What's a Blockbuster anyway?
Rewind.
Good. Very little to nothing is wrong for you to do with your phone, except for drop it.
Yeah. Okay.
And throw it on the ground. As far as
isn't gonna damage it.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you this. This is kind of a cool feature. If the phone gets overheated, it will turn itself off and it will put a warning up on the screen that says the temperature of this phone is above 90x degrees and you need to get it into the shade and have it cool down before you turn it back on.
Wow. So it recognizes the heat.
Again, I'll keep telling you real stories. I was in Mount Shasta. One of my best friends lives in Dunsmuir and cooks roast coffee out of Mount Shasta. I'm going to plug it right now because they're going to be one of our first sponsors, Northbound Coffee Roasters. Go to the northboundcoffeeroasters.com and order online. I was visiting Keith, and we had gone to a lake to go swimming, and I left my phone just out sitting on top of my blanket or my towel with all my stuff around, and we're in the mountains of California, and it's the summertime, and it was direct heat, sun heat on my phone, and I went to just pick it up and check it out, and it had this message on it, and the phone was hot to the touch. I could feel it. It was hot to the touch, but all it said was, "You've let the phone get to a temperature that the phone recognizes as dangerous."
Wow.
And the phone has now disabled itself completely and put a message that says, "Please don't restart this until you can get the temperature of the device down."
Wow. Okay. So if it's saying you can't restart this or don't restart this, right?
It's, they wouldn't let you probably.
Self-protecting, right?
It's kind of, so yeah, it's very, yeah.
So it has something in there that is basically preserving what it is.
Oh, now you think it's AI. Huh? You think it's a self-preserving entity that has a sentient awareness? Did I go too far?
No, I was kind of curious.
I feel like it's Terminator. We're on Judgment Day. No, it's not Skynetting or anything like that. I know where you're thinking this is going.
I'm such a nerd. I know that, but... I mean, is this, like, this might be where we're headed, though, right? Like, no, human, I am not going to turn off right now.
You're extrapolating a little too far. I think the phone self-preserving is in your best interest.
In this,
right? Yeah, I spent $1,000 on this phone, and I don't want to leave it in the car on the dashboard and then lose my $1,000. Right. I think it's a good thing. Now, I mean, if it sat there too long, could it do damage? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, all I know is that and I've seen it one other time too in a different situation, but that was the one time when I learned it, when I was just like, you know, and literally if I had just put a towel over the top of it.
Wow. Okay.
Just a towel to absorb the direct sunlight would have kept the phone cool enough to function. Right. And so, like, putting your phone, if you're in the car, put it under something or put it inside the compartment or put it in the glove compartment or something. It's probably going to be fine. It was the direct sunlight that was that cooked it. If I'm going to use that term, cooked it.
Gotcha. Okay. And since I plan to do a lot of snowboarding this season, I'm just curious about the extreme cold.
I have not heard much about extreme cold. I haven't heard people having a hard time on the ski slopes. We did talk about the Apple Watch Ultra last time, and that is actually made for sub-zero temperatures.
Wow.
Now, you know, skiing, oh, it's below 30, right? Or it's zero. You're it's really not sub-zero. You're not in a situation, you know, I don't think the phone is going to really have to be protected from that until it's a point when you as a human also need to be protected from that.
Yeah.
Right. If you're in frostbite territory, then your phone may need some loving.
Well, and I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, hypotheticals here. You know, you're on the slope and your phone comes like flying out of your pocket or wherever it is. And now you're doing the Find My, maybe from your smartwatch. I don't know if it goes back in the other direction.
I mean, you could have your watch have it play a sound so you can find it in the snowbank.
Okay. So I might be out there searching a little bit. I don't know. So just kind of.
Yeah. Again, it's some of those extreme questions I don't know because I haven't physically experienced. I've experienced heat. I have not experienced cold. You know, so I'm not totally sure what the borderline there is.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure if you can survive it, it can survive it.
Perfect.
Right. And of course, the other situation that people have run into since day one is water damage. Like where and when is water okay or not okay, or how much water is okay? You know, it used to be, you spilled water on any device and you're throwing it into a bag of rice and praying that the rice can pull the water out of the circuits.
Does that work with apples?
Absolutely, it does. Any tech that you just get a little bit wet, we always recommend the bag of rice trick, and it works. It really does. Things to watch out for is to not put your phone with the lightning down so the rice gets up into the lightning port.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you flipped it over so that the charging is sticking out of the rice, not in the rice, because you don't want rice inside the hole.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I don't think in that moment I would be thinking about that.
No, people just shove it in there. They don't even think about it. And if you get rice in the hole,
I would probably like be shaking the bag.
Right, exactly.
Completely
submerged. You don't know. You don't even need to do that. Just make sure that it's submerged about 3/4 to 4/5. Seal it so there's no air moving around. The idea is the rice, again, rice absorbs moisture, right? And if it's in a sealed situation, it's in a controlled environment with a sealed bag, it does not necessarily have to be submerged in the rice for the rice to pull the moisture out of everything in that bag, right? Honestly, not having the lightning covered in rice might be even better. It might be, you know.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Now, the newer phones, especially the Pro versions, right, the 12 Pro, the 13 Pro, and now the 14 Pro, are almost waterproof. I'm not going to say they're waterproof, but they're like 98 to 99% waterproof. Mm-hmm. We have taken a 12 Pro Max for photos and videos underwater. You were there that day at the river. Jeff took his underwater and did some stuff and pulled it out, and it was fine. Now, did he leave it under there for half an hour? No, right?
Yeah,
he just took it down, click, click.
When he did that, actually.
pulled it out. Well, we got a stress test. We got a stress test. You know, the non-pro versions are extremely water-resistant, but they're not watertight in the same sense. Apple Watches, just three versions ago, Apple Watches were not at the water-resistant level that they are now. And because I know you like the funny little weird parts of the technology that I think are cool, two versions, I think Series 5 or 6 was, if you took the watch underwater, when you came out, you had to go to the area where you kind of see, like turn the Wi-Fi on and off or turn this on and off, and there's a little water button and you would push it. And what it would do is there's only one hole in the watch, and it's the speaker, right? It's where the sound comes out.
Okay.
And so water can get in the speaker. And you'd push the button, and the speaker would vibrate the center part, bzzz, and the water would shoot out.
Oh, how funny.
And you could literally watch it. It would, like, you'd see water shoot out of this little hole. You'd push the button, and the water would come squirting out. And it was a, you know, like if you had a watch and you went underwater, you needed to know to purge the water from the speaker. That was the only thing that wasn't sealed or waterproof. That's automatic now. As of two versions ago, it's just, it knows when you're in the water, it knows when you come out of the water, and it knows that it's got to like purge the water from the only place that water can get in, which is the speaker.
Wow. That's cool.
Why do I know what I know? I don't know why I know what I know.
That's awesome. Well, I've got a couple more questions.
No, let's go. I thought that was good and interesting as far as like, where's my device safe? Where is it not safe? What kind of extreme boundaries should I be looking for? What do you got? What do you got? What's next?
Well, okay. I think this one is right up your alley, and I'm pretty sure other people are dealing with this too. I keep butt dialing my camera.
Okay.
Okay, so my lock screen buttons in one of the corners is the camera one.
And you have to press and hold it a little bit. It's even like a tap doesn't work. You got to press and hold it for a second for the camera.
Apparently,
come on.
My butt likes
press. Your butt likes to do that?
So I'm like, I don't even have a problem with butt dialing people. It's just the camera, right? And then
right.
Goes on from there. I would love it if I could change that button.
Well, so a couple questions, just because it's situational, right? So we've got to kind of talk about the situation. What situation are you in?
No, we do not.
And is it PEPCAC or not? Do you know what PEPCAC means?
PEPCAC. Okay, I do, but I want you to say.
Problem exists between the chair and the keyboard. Right. Is it human error, or did we do it, or is it the device doing it kind of thing? Right. Is it how I'm using the device, or is the device having a bug or a glitch? Quite often we kind of have to balance that out. So first question is like, so you're using your phone and you're done. Do you push the side button so that it goes to sleep?
I want to say yes.
Right. Because I mean, also like if it's awake and you just ignore it for a while, it'll go to sleep.
Okay.
Right. And so depending on your, you know, lock screen countdown, does it stay awake for a minute or 3 minutes or 30 seconds? Like if it's in low battery mode, it'll go to sleep in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And so, you know, it depends on, do you just kind of let it put itself to sleep, let it lock itself, or do you lock it, which would be pushing that side button to lock it?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Right. Now, even though it's locked, if you put it in your back pocket with the screen facing your butt, right, a tap. a touch and hold. But even notice a touch and hold and release. I even had to do the release. So the other thing, and this might be what's really happening, is on the lock screen, do you know this, that if you swipe left, you're in the camera?
Maybe that's what's happening.
Right, so... So it's probably not the button, right? It's probably just that your butt's swiping, I guess. I don't know. So, I mean, a solution might be to put the screen out instead of in, but I don't think I approve that solution. I don't think so either,
because I don't want to break my glass. Right? Well,
then don't put it in your back pocket anyway.
Well, okay.
Bottom line is, and I've said this on this series before, I don't understand why women carry their phone in their back pocket. It makes no sense to me at all.
I have an answer for this.
It's easy to drop. They fall out. I see them fall out of those pockets all the time. They're always sticking halfway out, right? Like, oh, I don't want to bend my phone. I don't want to actually sit on my phone. Well, you've created the perfect situation for all of those things to happen. So you tell me why it's good, why it's okay.
Because for women's pants.
Oh, it's the pocket. You're going to give the pocket argument. The pocket argument. Yeah, that there's no.
The pocket argument. It kind of is that. And for me, it's also that I really try hard to get away from carrying a purse of any kind.
Well, you don't want a handbag or whatever.
I don't want a handbag. I want to just carry like a small number of things on my person. And so now I'm like hands free to do all the things.
You know, they make a shoulder strap iPhone holder that's just as big as an iPhone.
Like carrying a purse, right? You have this.
Just like carrying a purse. You're absolutely correct.
So this is why we got the phone in the pocket and the camera comes on.
And then we get pictures of what? The inside of your pocket? What are these pictures of, by the way? Well, let me know. Let me know what these pictures are of.
So, can we change this? Is this a feature that is?
It is actually not changeable, no, because that is the phone. The phone does work. That if you tap and wake up the lock screen and you swipe left, you get to the camera.
Okay.
Now, how that's happening in your back pocket, I'm not completely sure. Do you have a stylus in there with the phone or something?
Just the phone. Apple developers, if you are listening, my booty would very much.
Yeah, this sounds like a gender. It sounds like a gender issue. It sounds like we're bringing up gender issues.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
I've seen a few men have it in their back pocket, and I think he probably deals with this occasionally, too.
And whoever they are, men, women, or non-binary, whomever you are, if you have this issue, I really think that you're having more fun than anybody else.
Okay, that's it. It's a fun, right? It's like anytime you have weird pictures on your camera roll, you know that you're out-funning everybody else. There was an Instagram post just last week about somebody lost their phone and a family found it, and before they turned it in, they took a bunch of pictures. Right. So they like found it at like a Walmart or something or at a Target or something. And then the family did a bunch of selfie poses and, you know, a bunch of, you know, blah, blah. And then they turned it in to security and the person got their phone back with this slew of pictures of this family raging, having a good time.
I think I would be one of them.
Right. Yep.
I might leave it at the next door over.
Yeah, there was a TikTok also of two guys that were standing on a college campus that just said, I'll give you $50 if you let me take your phone for 24 hours. And a couple girls talked their boyfriend into it. And he was like, okay. And he gave the phone. And then they walked away. And then the two guys literally like went out partying and took like pictures of random. Hey, I've got this guy's phone. I'm going to take some random pictures and just like random pictures of all these people raging and partying and doing all these weird things. And then the next day they showed up at the same time and gave him his phone and gave him his $50. And
due to the find my, he is like, not surprised.
Right.
Like, yeah, I know exactly where it was.
They went to the French Quarter? Oh my gosh. Right, you know, like, who knows? Okay, so that's, I don't have a good answer for you on that one. That is an anomaly in phone usage because it's not meant to be put in the back pocket. And so you are thwarting the paradigm of how this device is supposed to be being used. Okay. And because of your non-standard usage of this device, you have voided your warranty.
Okay, got it. Got it. But it still does beg the question, can those little buttons on the lock screen be changed to something other?
No. Right now, they are what they are, and we don't have customization. I will give you, again, digging down into how these things work, you're curious about these little buttons. One of the things about that little camera button is your phone's not unlocked yet, right? It is still a locked device, and therefore your data should be safe. But if you open the camera, quite often we can get to the camera roll. But in this situation, you can't.
Yeah, so it's not photos, right?
Well, if you have the locked phone and you go into that camera on the lock screen and you take a couple of pictures, they will show up kind of like a mini camera roll. You can still go preview them because you took them, right? So when you take a picture, there's a little square next to the picture button, right, that you can go to preview the picture, see what it is.
Yeah, but see, okay, so...
But it does not give you access to your whole...
thing right now, because if I look at it to try to do it, it's already recognizing my face and letting me on in, right? So I'm holding the phone so that it can't...
Oh, right, so hold the phone kind of in a weird way, yeah. Right? I'm going to go into this, right? And so right now, if I tap there, I shouldn't see anything. Oh, you're right, it did. It knew it was me and let me in because my Apple Watch... Right.
So there's that too. So I'm like,
no, but just know if you go in here and there's no biometrics saying it's you, you only see the pictures that have been taken during that session, and you cannot see the rest of the photo roll, the rest of the library. Right. But that's what people do. Like,
I can appreciate.
Like the family that found that person's phone took a bunch of pictures, but they couldn't get into the rest of the library.
Yeah.
Right. So your privacy is secure, right? Your privacy is safe on there. And so I just want you to at least know that bit of it because,
yep.
You know,
there's some relief in that, truly.
Yep. That does not unlock the phone or open it up. What if they put it in their back pocket and their butt swipe? I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? But that answers the question, which is really great. Because I was just curious, can that be customized,
We can customize the control center. I think we went over that a couple weeks ago about that. You can actually go to settings, control center, and add buttons to the control center. Like the magnifier is something you can add to the control center. An Apple TV control you could add to the control center. But even with the new lock screen in iOS 16, we can now customize the lock screen, make more than one lock screen, even have it change what lock screen based on what focus we're in. If I'm in sleep focus or work focus, and can change which lock screen.
Played with the focus yet? It kind of scares me. This is what I told you. Like, I might go back into fear mode a little bit, just because
paranoia is a state of mind. It doesn't go away. It's always there a little bit in the background.
But let's say you're in a certain time of day and your focus is switched or whatever. Like, is it going to allow me to the places that I need to get out of that focus?
Yeah, you can turn that focus off. You can disable the focus if it's, if you have a work focus from 8 to 5 every day, but you take a day off. Yeah, you can get out of it. Absolutely. You can say, hey, go ahead and switch me over to personal focus.
Like this AI that we were talking about where it's like, no, you got to be focused.
Well, okay. So it's so funny how you go there. And then I can tell you if you wanted to do that, if you wanted to achieve that, yeah, you can.
Right?
We've got screen time is the feature.
Focus time. So, what about the people that are cheating on their focus time? Is it going to be like overriding them? No.
It's your phone. You can do what you want. Quit thinking it's not. Skynet is not taking people's lives over. Let me say this real quick. God. Do my best Napoleon Dynamite. God.
Sorry.
Gosh. We used to have something called, we still have something called restrictions. And you can go into settings and find restrictions, add a passcode to it. And we use it with kids and older adults so that they can only go to certain websites. They can only use certain apps. They're only allowed to communicate with certain people. So we can lock it down to they can only use Safari and Messages, and in Messages, they can only text their grandparents.
Okay, I'm looking for restrictions.
It's probably under General.
Okay.
As always, swipe down and use your search, right, and just type in Restrict.
Oh, yeah. Why am I not doing that more readily? Just going to try that.
Okay, so let me get back. So Restrictions is not going to be in there. I'll tell you that right now, because Restrictions evolved into what is now called Screen Time.
Oh, okay. I do see screen time.
Yeah, so screen time, when you type in restrictions, screen time is what will come up. Okay. And screen time is the new thing that you can set up for yourself and or family members, specifically family members under 18, because you still own them or pwn them, as we learned earlier today.
No soup for you.
No soup for you.
Homework done.
Get the work, kids. Screen time is a really cool feature for a couple different reasons. The first one is that it just monitors what you do so that you can look at a week or a day and get some feedback on how often did I pick up my phone? How many hours was my screen on? Was I looking at that screen? And out of the 5 to 7 hours my phone was on, how much of it was on Facebook? How much of it was I in Minecraft? How much of it was I, you know, death scrolling Instagram or TikTok, right?
Oh boy.
And so it is a great feedback tool for people that feel like, wow, my phone is controlling my life. I'm going into these kind of like 3 hours of just not being there. And then what happened to my day? Where'd my day go? I'm not being productive. Where'd my day go?
Yeah.
And so that's why Apple, and again, like last week, we're talking about how's Apple helping us? How's Apple addressing, like, they know phones are addictive. They know screens are addictive. They know social media is addictive, right? So they're giving us tools where we can, first off, monitor ourselves, which we didn't have before. Okay, and I'll tell you, I use Facebook a lot for, like, getting news, right? Keeping up with friends. Some business stuff, and I will look and be like, wow, I was on Facebook for 3 hours today. Like, what, where, when? But it's in 10-minute increments, 15-minute increments. It's when I'm waiting in line at the bank. A bunch
it's
of different.
Kind of telling though, right? Like, I had an epiphany the other day. Not recently, actually, it was quite a while ago. But I kind of rethought of it, which was any time that we're, you know, playing the game on the phone late at night or whatever. I'm like, okay. But what did that game teach me? Because I could be learning a language.
Right. What did I get out of this? Right. Yeah. Alicia's been playing this Harry Potter game on her iPad and she does it constantly. But it is, it's her downtime. She works 12 hours a day. She wants an hour of Harry Potter. You know, there's a balance there. I mean, that's fine. But the bottom line is screen time lets us at least monitor and monitor in the background. It's not in our face. Now, it will have notifications and you're in control of that. And my mind does pop up and say every week, you are above average on your screen usage, or you're below average on your screen usage, right? You were on Facebook 3 hours less than last week, you know, and it will kind of give me a little prodding on what my trend is. Am I trending using it more? Am I trending using it less? So that's the first thing is monitoring. Second is restrictions, where we can actually say, you know, I've got a problem and I don't want to be on Facebook for more than 2 hours a day. And so I'm going to actually tell it that I have a limitation of 2 hours a day of Facebook. And then it will warn me, 15 minutes left. You only have 15 minutes left today of Facebook time. And then when the time comes, it'll be like, you've used up all your Facebook time. This app is now shut off. Now, can I go turn it back on? Yeah, I can override that. But at least I got a hey, wake up. Hey, pay attention to this kind of thing, right?
Sure.
Now, we can self-police, which is awesome that we have that tool. And for people that feel like they have a problem, like recognize that they need limitations, that unless there's something saying, hey, here's the limit, they're just going to like breeze right past it.
Right.
Well, I always like to talk about where it came from, right? It came from restrictions. Well, what were restrictions for? Children under 18 and adults that are losing their capacities. Right. And even for safety's sake, for older adults, like so they don't get scammed or they don't, you know, whatever it is, whatever you need to limit them for. But it was for kids restrictions, kids under 18, kids under 13. Right. So like my daughter is only allowed an hour of TikTok a day because she was on there 3 to 5 hours a day at a certain point. And when I looked at her, so if they're in the family share and you can look at other people's screen time records if they give you permission to. So you can share screen time or you can monitor screen time for family members. So I can always go and look at what my son and my daughter have done. What did they do today? What did they do this week?
So right? It went from like 3 to 5 hours down to 1. And this is effective parenting. But then did she revoke your access?
She can't because she's under 18 and it's under my secret passcode that I haven't given her. She can't turn it off and she can't opt out of it because she's under 18 and it knows that. Over 18 and they could tell me to go blow, then it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
But here's the other cool part is she's gotten done with her hour of TikTok. She would like some more. She's allowed to request it.
Yeah.
She's allowed to say, request more screen time for TikTok from your adult. And no matter where I am in the world, it pops up on my phone and my watch. Grace would like more TikTok time. And if I say approve, it says how long? 15 minutes, 1 hour, or all day.
Wow, that's so cool.
And so sometimes I just say, hey, 15 more minutes just to kind of, you know, finish what you're doing. Another hour to top the hour you've already had. Or most recently, because I trust her and she's not doing it all the time, I just say all day, and it's until midnight, and she can pretty much do what she wants.
Right.
Now, my son Zip is 16, and when he was younger, he didn't have a lot of control, teenage boys, you know, 12-year-old boys or whatever, and he was sneaking his phone into his bed at night, mm-hmm. you know, and then he would wake up exhausted or throwing up, and we couldn't figure out what was going on, and it wasn't until screen time came along that I got to see, well, wait a minute, like, why is your phone being used from, like 1 in the morning until 5 in the morning? Oh, wait, you're not actually getting any sleep because you are, you know, obsessive with this thing. And so now he's not allowed, his phone won't do anything but ring and alarms from like midnight until 6 a.m. Mm-hmm.
That's really awesome.
And so even if he wakes up in the middle of the night and has an urge to do something, he's not allowed to. He can't, his phone is just, you know, he could communicate, he could text me, Dad, I need help.
Advent of smartphones, we've all been like levels of addiction with it, right? And yes.
Many, many people have hit the wall and not even realized it or whatever. You know, with kids, it's easy to just fall into that, right? And so, and he's thankful now.
Sure.
You know, he didn't understand that what he was doing was a problem or would become a problem, mm-hmm. you know, but so there's screen time for restricting certain, but monitoring, I said, monitoring's number one. Restricting is the second part, and we can self-police ourselves, or we can police our kids or our parents or whoever else we feel like we need to.
And this transfer also to the other Apple devices in the household. So I don't have any yet, but I'm just curious.
iPads, yes.
Apple. Well, actually, technically, we have the Apple TV, right? So I wonder about, can you...
I don't think screen time is monitoring Apple TV at this point, no.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, it is on Mac OS, so it's on laptops and desktops, iPads, iPhones, things like that. I do not think it monitors the Apple Watch because we don't use the Apple Watch that way.
Right.
There are games for the Apple Watch. You actually can get games on your Apple Watch and play games on your Apple Watch. Me and Grace used to do that in the waiting room of the doctor's office. She would be like, can you pull up Seven Letters? Can we play Seven Letters? And we'd be like, okay, and then we'd play Seven Letters on the little tiny screen. But again, screen time is really cool. And I think it's extremely useful. And it does ask you when you first boot up, especially on the Mac OS, do you want to enable this or not enable this? Or do you want to wait till later? Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that kind of, that's my answer to the kind of the question or whatever. That's the way the technology has evolved, what it has to offer. And if you self-impose, yeah, you can override it. You know, if you're the one with the passcode for the phone, you can passcode and do whatever you want. Now, for kids under 18, they can passcode into their phone, but I can passcode into their screen time. So they can look at their screen time. They can make requests of me. They can't change the settings. They can't change what apps are allowed to use, what time of day they're allowed to use them, and how many hours of the day they're allowed to use them. Mm-hmm. Those are my controls.
I'm anticipating you're going to have a lot more switchers watching this. Parent switchers.
Parent switchers.
Yeah, we're going to switch our whole household to this.
I mean, it really does. The other options are like the Disney Circle, and I think Xfinity now has it built into their router where you can like shut down devices, access to the internet at certain times of day or night. Or it's not like Apple's the only one. I'm willing to say that Apple's done it better than everybody else, in my opinion. I've tried to use a Disney Circle. It was mayhem. It was years ago, but it wasn't easy. Okay, with that, I feel like we did it. We did it again. So J-Mac has fixed a couple of things today.
Everything.
But in the long run, J-Mac fixes everything. But great discussion, great topics. I feel like we're really getting somewhere. And it's funny because our theme recently has been getting somewhere is easing your mind.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll get more hands-on at certain points. I know eventually we'll get back to photos because, I, you know, that's the back burner. We don't really want to have to do it, but we kind of have to eventually get there. With that, everybody, this is Audrey. I'm Jamie. We're coming from you from royallife.com. This is J-Mac Fixes Everything, and we will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Bye.